The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
The Welsh Wonder Wizard.
I hate saying my name. Like, I'm me, Lloyd Barnes. Hello, welcome to the podcast. Me, Craig. Me, Lloyd.
Yeah, we can do that. But how are you feeling? You let everyone down on Sunday. There was no Sunday session. There's an army of magicians around the world at 5 o'clock GMT that are literally just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, playing with their decks, crying into their beer because they had no Sunday service.
No one gives a fuck. I've been running every morning at 6 a.m. 15 kilometer runs, and then going for like a 5k walk with the family when I get back. And I just like fucked myself up by doing it. And I just run down. So I fucked off Sunday and just like recouped a little bit.
You feeling okay now?
Yeah, feeling good. How have you been though, man?
I'm excited. It's been a very, very, very busy week. I'm heading up to York straight after filming this. Because I'm heading up to film part of the stuff that's going to make up my masterclass for Vanishing Ink.
That's amazing. That's so good.
I'm very excited. Very, very excited. You know, I've never actually done a real life Muppet before. So, you know, actually being able to say that I've been employed by Kermit the Frog is an exciting thing for me.
You have all your set list planned? Yeah, ready to go.
No. I genuinely don't think I'm vanishing in material because I think they're a little bit concerned as to what I'm bringing to the table. I've got like all brand new material that I've created specifically for this that I've been working on in the last year or two. Almost 80% of it is brand new, like never seen before. And keep asking me for the set list. And I don't exactly know which ones I'm going to do. It's just going to depend on the day. So I haven't given them a set list. And, you know, they're like, when are we going to get the set lists? I'm like, soon. When are we going to know what you're doing?
They're not getting them.
When are you going to know what you're doing? Like, maybe about 2 minutes after you switch the cameras on. I've planned a lot of stuff. I've planned way too much stuff. I'm not going to be able to cover everything that I've planned. So I'm just going to get a vibe when I'm filming it and work and do the best stuff. But I've got some some amazing stuff with coins, mentalism, cards, condoms, just a whole bunch of stuff.
Are you genuinely doing stuff with condoms?
Yeah, I've got a condom trick. But let's be honest, it's the ultimate everyday carry.
That's true.
It's organically something that you'd have in your wallet.
It's definitely going to have something organic inside it. Organic matter straight from Peter Nardi's ball bag,
and within 4 minutes right up Nardi's testicles.
That's generally how long it takes him to get organic matter all over his testicles. Big sloppy bollocks.
You didn't realize that a lot of the time after I filmed the podcast I have to speak to Pete on the phone. And I just have an image in my head when I do that I just can't get out of my head.
His little shiny conkers.
I really wonder anybody who listens to this podcast.
No one listens to the fucking podcast, Craig. Like fucking nobody. They're like a little shell. You know how a snail has a shell? They're like a little shell that Harry came out of. Testa shell.
Testa shell.
Testy shell.
We've already hit all of the good stuff. We've hit whales. We've hit Nardi's testicles. We've kind of filled in the bingo card already. I think we can probably.
Kermit the Frog was in there.
Kermit the Frog, you know, good old Joshua J. It's not easy being green.
Joshua J. Hi, I'm Joshua J.
Somebody said to me, why do you pick on Joshua J? Somebody actually said to me on my channel, why do you pick on Joshua J's voice? Should I tell you fucking why? Because he's a fucking Adonis. He's built like a fucking shit brick house. He looks like a fucking supermodel. He's incredibly talented. He releases some of the best magic in the world. He's a really nice guy. He's got nothing else to pick on but his voice. And so I'm fucking latching onto that for every single fucking second.
I like that you tried to punch up when, you know, when you poke fun at people. But then why are you so mean to Peter Eckink then?
Why am I so mean to Peter? I like
you should see Craig's face when I asked him that question. I could see his penis go inside himself. He just shriveled up. He's like, ah.
I'm not mean. It's his fault for bringing out a load of shit. But I've got the two new Peter Egging tricks on the way. I've got Portal and Changeling. So they're on winging their way over there.
We were talking about this last week. My fucking God, my... People wouldn't stop messaging me about Portal.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, I really want to see it. I can't wait to see it because I'm a big fan of Acme Portable Hole and I want to see how he's improved the method because I don't think he has, but we'll see. Who hasn't fucking improved the method? Did we talk about the N2G ECC thing last week?
No,
you know N2G.
Wait, is it a coin thing?
Yeah. You're not a coin fan, are you? Yeah. So
N2G... I'm half decent at coin stuff. I can do things.
N2G bring out a load of really nice gaff coins, but their tutorials always suck balls. Like they are the worst.
Whose balls do they suck?
Peter Nardi's testicles. Peter Nardi's gonads.
Sorry.
They always suck balls, and this thing that they've bought out, it's like a 12-phase routine, and it's a 3-minute tutorial.
Oh, blimey! Like,
and it's basically Explosion by Dean Dill with no crediting, so it's not like they've done anything new to it or anything. They're basically just taking Dean Dill's Explosion, made it in Chinese coins, not credited him at all, and then just thrown it out to the masses. So I did an honest trailer on it. Just shit.
Oh Christ. Are we into the new product section already?
No, sorry. I was just moaning about that.
And
no,
wait, how do we get to that?
I don't know. I never know how we link from one thing to another on this podcast. I've literally got no clue. No clue. I don't know. Let's talk about what's happened this week. Is there anything going on in the world of magic that we should be aware of? Have you been up to anything? Anything exciting happening at Murphy's? Give us some gossip about somebody.
I can next week, I think. Not gossip. I hate to use the word gossip. I have some interesting news that I did actually just tell you before we started recording. But that news needs to come out itself. And then we can, I think we can talk about it quite a lot openly next week then.
Oh, that's good. I'd like to be able to do that.
But I'm trying to think. There's been some interesting things going on. A lot of Murphy's per se. We've got loads of like exciting projects in the works and everything's like, it's a really good time at the minute. But I just seen that the Session convention was announced. The new, for January the
30th. Have you seen the lineup?
I have. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's incredible already.
Well, Morten Christiansen, who I know from a couple of years ago, is an amazing creator from Denmark. He's friends with Kim Anderson, so I met him. He's actually an incredible creator. He came first in the comedy section at FISM. And he's amazing. And actually, I'm just reading Vanishing Inc's website, and they have a spelling mistake in that section about Morten, which is humiliating for them. I'm kidding. But he's there. Makobi, who won the FISM for close-up card magic. I don't know if you've seen his routine, the video that's been posted.
Yes, right. Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
insane. Peter Turner is lecturing, which I never thought they'd ever have Pete lecturing. But then again, I never thought they'd have you for a masterclass. So that's going to be incredible. And no, it's just because, like, you know, no, I just don't, you know, so Vanishing Ink have a very particular style, you know? Yes. And you said it yourself. You just said it yourself. You don't feel like you fit their brand at all. And you know, I would say Pete doesn't either, generally.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
So, and then they got Arthur Benjamin, Brian Watson, Mark James, Matt Baker, Darren Delaney, Alex Romanoff, Alice Piales, I think it's like Spanish name, I can't pronounce it, and Gustav Kuhn.
The person I'm most excited about, by the way, is Matt Baker.
Yeah? I don't know much.
Matt Baker wrote the Buena Vista Shuffle Club, which is one of my favorite magic books. And
I've heard of it. I've never read it. What sort of content is in it?
It's Memdeck stuff.
Oh, wow.
And he's one of the greatest experts when it comes to Memdeck, in my opinion. There's very few people that come close to him. I've interviewed him on the channel. He's just really great. Really, really great. I'm so glad that they've got Matt. That's going to be awesome.
I'm interested to see the Morton lecture. Well, obviously, I'm interested to see everyone lecture. Everyone's got a great name there. And like the people I don't know much about, I know they've got like good things being said about them and everyone praise them. But I think I'm excited to vicariously see everyone's reaction to Pete Turner's lecture, because not a lot of people have seen him. Well, a lot of people have, but I think the Vanishing Ink crowd haven't seen someone lecture like him, and it is pretty, it does stop you in your tracks when he does perform, you know.
It is interesting. Do you find it interesting that what am I trying to say? That like different magic companies have sort of almost tribes of people that follow them. Like there's a certain type of person that follows Vanishing Ink, and they mainly, obviously people buy all sorts of stuff, but it's like Alakazam have their own sort of family of people that buy everything they bring out. So do Vanishing Ink, so do Penguin. It's kind of really interesting how magicians gravitate from one company to the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the same with like supermarkets though, isn't it? Or anything, or clothing brands. People just have, the people who run the companies have a particular style and brand in mind when they, you know, when they choose their range of products, from how they market their products and the design. And I think certain people just gravitate towards certain companies. But yeah. So anyway, so that was announced. So I'll be definitely going to that in January, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. 100%. Love the session.
There's absolutely the obviously the London Magic Convention, which we speak about all the time, which is coming up. I don't know what it is, but I'll be going to that. And there's also the South Tyneside Magic Convention coming up on the 14th of October, which has a surprisingly good lineup. And I think we did speak about it maybe the week before last, but I think I might be going on holiday. I'm going to be booking like a last minute holiday, depending on if Kaylee's passport comes back or not.
Yeah, Ryland's performing at the House of Secrets the weekend that the South Tyneside Convention's on, so I'm not going to be there.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing, but also, fuck.
Are you going to be there, are you?
Unless I'm abroad, then I'll be there, yeah. Like, well, if I'm in the UK, I'm definitely going to be there.
We did mention this as well a couple of weeks ago, but one I'm definitely going to is the Wizards Weekender. Which is Chris Cross's convention. He's got such an amazing
line.
Where
is this now?
The 11th, 12th, and 13th of November.
Okay.
Just go to theenchantedrabbit.com and click on the convention.
It sounds like a fucking dildo.
It's Chris Cross's magic shop. It's all sort of very old tricks and stuff and so on and so forth. But he's putting this convention on. And I had a chat with him. I mean... Look at the lineup of that. You got Mark Oberon, you've got Noel Britton, Paul Stone, the freak Daniel Johnson, John Archer, Jamie Raven, Billy Kidd, Mark Mason, Laura London, the great Kavari, Franz Harari, Chris Cross.
Yeah, that's a fucking great lineup, isn't it?
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that's Ryland's birthday. It's his birthday on the 12th of November.
When
so
is it? The 12th of November, 11th to the 13th.
12th and 13th. Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in Newcastle.
Fuck, another one in Newcastle. Wait, that's is that at the same time? Oh, no, it's a month after.
A month later, yeah.
Fucking hell. I'll be up and down like a horse drawers going back and forth to Newcastle now.
You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
Yeah. I might do then. I really want to do the South Tyneside one, for sure. I definitely want to do that.
I've done South Tyneside a couple of times. It's a really good convention. If I wasn't with Ryland at the House of Secrets, I'd definitely go to that.
Javi Benitez is going to be there. I love Javi. I've been to Seville with him. That's where he's from. And I wanted to go and hang out with him. So, and he's amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen Javi Benitez lecture, but it's fucking astounding.
No, I haven't.
He has the best gypsy thread routine that I've... I had to check myself then and say, like, thinking, is it kosher to say gypsy thread? He has the best traveler thread routine that I've ever seen.
Well, I was performing on my channel the other day, The Gypsy's Curse by Peter Kane. And I'm like, am I okay still calling it Gypsy's Curse?
Yeah.
Is this something that I'm allowed to do still? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Is it legal these days?
Exactly. This is about the period of time. We're coming up on the period of time where a lot of Halloween releases are coming out. But then after that, we're going to be gearing up, I imagine, for the big Christmas releases. A lot of magic shops, magic dealers, they bring out like big tricks just before Christmas. I know Alakazam have got a couple of big things lined up before Christmas, having spoken to Peter Nardi. Murphy's don't, though, do they? They don't make a big deal of, like, the December period. It's more January for them, is that right?
I think so, from what I can gather. I've only been there through one Christmas period, but I remember asking, because I remember when I worked at a different magic company, Christmas was the big one. That was everything. You know, you worked all year. Like, everything you'd be doing all year was, you do, like, you know... Half of the stuff was planning Christmas. The other half was just getting through the year. And then Christmas was the big one. I'm looking on this Enchanted Rabbit site, and they've got a 10-year thing. And there's a photo of the product for £12.99 on the label, but it's £45 on the website. Maybe change the label. So the other magic company would be Christmas, and you'd work and you basically you down tools on, I think it would be like, depending on the day, it would be like November 22nd or something. That would be like the cut off a post, and like you'd be fucking dragging your balls or Nardi's balls over broken glass to get to that date, just to fucking be like, right, no, because you'd miss the post deadline. Then anything I ordered after that, they couldn't guarantee it. But so when I started at Murphy's, I think I started in like the October. And I said, right, is it like, you know, is Christmas going to be the big one? And they just said, no, we normally do bigger numbers in January. Than crazy, January's more busy for us. So, so we're not, I don't, you know, obviously we're working hard, but nothing major, I don't think, for Christmas. What's, do you know what anything, any sneak peeks of what Pete's got coming out for Christmas?
Well, he's got the follow-up. Right. Okay. So, this is big secret. This is dropping a nugget to the people on the podcast.
We all know that if anyone wants a secret to get leaked, they just tell it to you.
Sure. I'll fucking tell everyone. fuck it. Pete's bringing out a range of coins called the Mirage Range.
Yeah.
And obviously the first one was the Mirage coin set. And there's going to be lots of other coin sets, and I'm working very closely with him developing a lot of these coin sets. And the next coin set is hopefully going to be coming out at Christmas. And it's killer, and it's perfect for the walk around performer, and it's unbelievable. I think I might have shown it you. I've shown it you.
You saw have it. Shown it to me, yeah.
You know what it is. So he's working on a big range of coin stuff, but he's got some Christmas tricks coming out in November, because he did that last year where, you know, I quite like, as a close-up performer, having Christmas themed tricks and Halloween themed tricks. I think it's nice to make an effort when you're going to gigs and you're booked for Halloween or Christmas to have, you know, tricks that are themed to that time of the year. And Alakazam, I think, are one of the only companies that actually bring out tricks that are themed to the various different times of the year.
Yeah, it's a funny one, that, because people often want themed trips, but I found it, you know, being, you know, in the industry, that they often, a lot of the times, they don't do so well for the numbers, or at least the American firms that I've worked at, like, it, because I think you get like a window, and it feels like people go, oh yeah, I better get that this week, or within the 2 weeks of an event coming up, and then it just, it's gone. So the shelf life is quite limited. I remember once, I've done it actually a few times. I've put loads of work into like a Christmas theme video or a Halloween style video for like five tricks to be, you know, shown or whatever. And they always do like I did an Easter video this year. I don't know, five tricks you can do for Christmas video before. And they always look bomb comparatively to the rest of the stuff that I make. I don't know.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but fuck it. What tricks would you, what sort of, have you ever done theme tricks then at gigs, like Halloween theme, for example?
Close up, yeah. Close up, not stage. Stage, they get the same old shit. But close up, yeah. I've got, at the time of the year when I'm doing Halloween, I always bring out The Collector by Nicholas Mavresis, which is just a great sort of Halloween theme trick. It's, and also Fright Night. Do you remember Killer Elite by Andy Nyman? Killer Elite, where you've got four serial killers.
Oh, your best friend, Andy Nyman.
Yeah,
ooh, me and friend. Andy. Oh, friend. Oh, pals. Oh, text friends. Oh, Keymaster friend. Oh, come to my convention, friend.
Yeah, that'd be him. Well, you remember Killer Elite? You remember Killer Elite? Fuck off.
That was fucking. It was many moons ago it came out, wasn't it? But I do remember that was. I think, I mean, I have no idea on the numbers, but I seem to get the impression that was a fucking huge seller for years, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It really was. It really was. It still sells now. A lot of people don't realize that last year, because it flew under the radar, but I fucking love this trick. Last year, Alakazam bought out something called Fright Night because they've got the rights to Killer Elite. So they bought out Fright Night, which is basically Killer Elite, but with horror films. So it's like got Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street, Ghostface, all the different, Jason, whatever, all of them. And yeah, it's the same thing. So great, nice. Halloween theme trick. Great Halloween theme trick.
Doesn't Jamie Dawes have a bunch of Halloween type stuff like Scarred or Scared, is it called?
Yeah, he's got six Alakazam Academies all based on Halloween tricks, and Nicholas Mavresis has just bought out a trick that Jamie fronted called The Blessing. It's literally just come out through Alakazam, which is a very spooky style trick that is perfect. That's for Halloween. Cool. As well,
I've always thought that the Eric Ross crushed effect would be great for Halloween. It's like I've always thought it would be fucking great for like a. So do you know what the effect is? It's an empty bottle crushes itself, and
yeah,
and it's gimmickless. And I always thought that you could do something along the lines of some people can't get it. It wouldn't be at a gig. It'd be in a house situation, and you'd have to get the tone right. And, you know, most magicians are fucking terrible at shit like that. But under the guise of like some sort of seance style thing, and that you talk about how, you know, something to do with spirits being captured in bottles, and you talk about the history of the usage of bottle, I don't know, some shit. And you'd get people all around, and you say that mean spirits would try to crush and attack or whatever once they'd be. And then as you're there, the bottle would crush down on itself. And I always thought that would just be like a really interesting premise, because the method is so clean. You know, it's such a fucking, and it is, you know, it just literally crushes, and you could just really theme it with it all candle lit and dark. I just thought it would scare the bollocks of someone.
And that's what you want. You want to scare the bollocks off someone. Yeah, that'd be really fun. That'd be really, like Pete. That'd be That's cool. I like that. What's the best, talking about that trick, and I don't know how my brain went here, but it's basically an impromptu trick crushed. What's the best impromptu trick of all time? The best impromptu trick of all time.
Oof. Do you have? I love impromptu tricks.
I know. I have one in my head. I have one. I have two that I can't decide against. The first one is Crazy Man's Handcuffs, which you could argue.
That's the first one that came to my head. That was the first one that came to my head.
And the second one is Sinful.
See, I perform Sinful a lot, but not enough to think like as a go-to. But how many? What do you? Sinful's a great shout, though.
It was a time for about 4 years when I did so many festivals. The entire summer, I'd be working at a different festival every day, and I'd have an illusion show that I'd have to do in, that later on. But for the rest of the day, I'd be walking around doing close-up magic for like 3 or 4 hours. And I didn't want to carry much around with me because it was really hot. So I'd just wear jeans and a T-shirt. I'd have a deck of cards. I'd have 4 coins, and that's it. And I would literally do Sinful over and over again because everybody was walking around with cans of pop. So I'd be doing Sinful so many times. I mean, I've done that trick hundreds of times.
Yeah, Sinful's fucking good. For me, it's Crazy Man's Handcuffs. I think it is amazing. And then I do the ending where it vanishes in the spectator's hands, which is always just goes wild. I do so much impromptu magic. I like Liquid Band by Vinnie Marini. I think it's by Vinnie Marini, where it's a rubber band and a straw or a pen or a pencil, and it melts through.
I do a version of that by Russell Leeds called Diffusion. Totally.
Show me. Can you show me?
If I've got an elastic band on me, yeah.
But I get the spectators to hold each end of the straw or the pencil to like really get them involved. And then I like doing angle zero or angle Z with like beer coasters and stuff like that.
It's like a 7-phase routine, but the main part is here. You see the band, actually. I don't know how well you can see that.
Craig's holding a band between his thumb and index finger, and you've got a pen between the band.
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3.
That looks great. That looks like magic.
And you know what? When, because Russell was my business partner, obviously.
Yeah.
He put this on more banding around. And here's an interesting story. When it came out and it got marketed by World Magic Shop and it went on the cafe, Vinnie Marini had a fucking hissy fit. He's like, you ripped off Liquid Band. And Russ was like, never even heard of Liquid Band. No, I haven't. And then Russ got hold of Liquid Band and he's like, it's totally different. He was getting ripped. Vinnie Marini and all of Vinnie Marini's friends were ripping into Russ about this trick. And Joe Reinfleisch stepped in, who is like the greatest rubber band man of all time.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'll settle this. Send me a copy of Banding Around. I'll watch it and I'll let you know because I know Liquid Band. And he got the DVD and he posted and said, nope, it's totally different, completely different method, completely stands alone. It's got a lot of advantages over Liquid Band. He actually gave a quote for the project and really like a lot of the stuff that Russ put on there influenced the direction Joe was going with a lot of his rubber band magic.
So
it isn't Liquid Band, it's a completely different thing. And Russ isn't in magic now, and I've just put this on the Netrix and taught the whole routine, the whole multi-phase routine, but it's so nice.
I'm actually gonna go off and learn that straight away. Yeah, I like doing that. Angle zero with beer coasters or anything, not playing cards, is great. Like, you know, if someone, or a coffee coaster, if someone goes to the toilet when you're having a coffee with them or a beer or something, take their coaster, tear a corner off, hold on to it, put their drink back on top of the coaster, and just as they sit down, flick it under their ass. Right? I can't even count how many times I've done this. And then just in chatting, just before they go to take a sip of their drink, like just to catch their attention to stop them doing it, then pick up the coaster, pretend to tear the corner off, or the not even the corner, sometimes a lot of them around, make it vanish, make it appear under them, literally like miracle status. But it's just, doesn't feel like a magic-y trick, you know what I mean?
That's great.
And just things like doing toxic forces on their calculator, you know, really quickly setting it up, borrow their phone, open the calculator, type it in, plus zero times zero, or is it time? I can't remember now. And then doing like the serial number reveals. Oh, so many good impromptu tricks. Most of the shit I do is impromptu.
There's a trick that I thought I created and then realized that you fucking created it, that I do all of the time when I borrow a mobile phone, which is the credit card, getting their credit card number.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I beat you to the punch on that? Sorry, mate.
Asshole.
Well, yeah, I literally purposefully published that video. I think it was like 6 years ago, so that I could be the, because I knew I wouldn't be the, other people would discover it as well. For anyone that doesn't know, on Apple phones, if you double tap the side button, if anyone's got Apple Pay set up, their card will drop down. Like, I've got a TransferWise card, but if you look closely, it's got the last four digits of their card number that shows up. So if you borrow someone's phone and you say, I'm going to try and guess your PIN code to get in, or anything, to like say, oh, can I just check the time, any excuse to touch their phone, you can get the last four digits of their bank card. And people just don't ever fucking put two and two together. And if you wait 5 minutes and then you can build it up, say, look, I've never been near your purse or your wallet. Have I been near your bank cards? Have I been near your ID? And then like force, you know, you can force the four numbers on them somehow, or just reveal it somehow. People like just lose their minds over it.
It's killer. It really is. Absolutely killer. Yeah, I think that because you know what? I speak to so many magicians and I hear from so many magicians on the channel, and they always say the same thing. Oh, what should I do when somebody asks me to do a trick? You know, all I do is I say, I haven't got anything on me. And you've got these groups on Facebook and people talk about their everyday carry and what's your everyday carry. And it's like fucking, oh, I carry 16 ITRs and four packs of cards and I carry this and that and the other. And I'm like, I can't be asked to put all that shit in my pockets when I leave.
Yeah, fuck that.
For me, an EDC trick is a trick that organically looks like it would live in your wallet. Like, gossip doesn't look like it'd live in your wallet, but it sounds plausible when I say, I got this piece of, I tore this page out of my wife's magazine the other day. I've got it here. And it just sits in my wallet for when I need it. But if you've got a trick, like Overdraft by 1914, just some credit card.
That's an EDC.
Yeah, you know. You look at something like that, something that organically is in your wallet. I think that there's that, but also there's so many great impromptu tricks that obviously people don't know about because, yeah, you know, nobody seems to, or a lot of people always seem to struggle when they think about what they're doing in Earth.
See, I've spoken about this for years. I've, a lot of the times, because I don't gig as well, I get the luxury of not having the pressure, but I'll, if it comes up and someone asks me to do magic, I'll say, just hand me like a couple of objects. And then I'll just improvise with those objects. And it's not like I'm not incredibly creative with it, but somebody, you know, normally they'll hand you like a coin or a note or a napkin. I've always got rubber bands on or in my pocket. And sometimes I'll throw them, I'll flick one on the floor as we're chatting. If I know a trick's going to come up, and I'll be like, oh, I'll use that or this to make it feel impromptu. But yeah, Andrew Main's ghost bills I used to do all the time.
Oh, ghost bills.
I used to do that all the fucking time. Straw through bill, like.
There's another guy you don't hear from anymore, by the way. Andrew Main.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Don't know. There was a time when he was bringing out stuff all the time. He was like the master of bringing out illusions for a close-up situation. I remember.
What has happened to him?
Got Buster and. There was umbrellas through the head. He used to bring out so much really good stuff.
Yeah, he's a novelist now.
Are you serious?
I think so. Hang on.
Is that the correct... I'm Googling him as well. And
there's a Wikipedia page for him, and it's got a photo. Oh,
yeah, no. Yeah, it says he's a magician, novelist, and inventor.
3 times Thriller Award finalist and an Edgar finalist for his novel Blackfall. In 2019, he swam alongside great white sharks using an underwater stealth suit in the Discovery Channel Shark Week special, Andrew Main Ghost Diver. Having written and produced over 50 books, DVDs, and manuscripts on magic, he was described in 2010 as one of the most prolific magic creators of the 2000s. He is also the publisher of iTricks.com and the host of the Weird Things podcast. His magic includes illusions such as shrinking his body to 2 feet tall and drinking liquid nitrogen. What the fuck? I didn't expect all this.
No, me neither. It's so weird.
Wow, I wonder if he...
You look at it, if you look on the Wikipedia thing and you look at him as a fiction author, he's produced 16 novels. The Naturalist spent 8 weeks at the top of the bestsellers list. And if you look at all of those novels...
Which bestsellers list?
Amazon bestsellers list. But what? It says that all of these novels that he's written were basically from 2011 onwards.
Holy shit, his book, Black Fall, has got 2,256 ratings on Amazon.
He probably doesn't have much time to do magic anymore, to be honest.
Fucking hell, he's like proper successful at novel writing. This is amazing.
It's amazing. You see stuff like this, isn't it? Like, so. Yeah.
So he's left magic and he's into.
It looks like
he's
there. And yeah, what was that website that he set up? I remember that.
iTrix. Yeah, I checked that not long ago actually to see if there's any activity on there.
Is it still going?
I think it's. Well, let's fucking find out, shall we? Yeah, it's in my history. Like, it popped up. I put it in.
No, it's not. I've just gone on iTrix and somebody, it takes you through to a Amazon link.
Does it?
Yeah. Type in iTrix. It comes up with iTrix.com. Click here. And you click on it and it takes you through to some sort of competition thing. That happens an awful lot if there's like a really high ranking website and they let the domain name slip, somebody will buy it and they'll push it through to something else, and that's what's happened there. So he's let that slip. He's not doing anything with it anymore.
He's on his website, andrewmint.com. he's got like books like how to write a novella in 24 hours. The number one Amazon bestseller on authorship. Andrew Main, star of A&E's Don't Trust Andrew Main, and ranked the fifth best-selling independent author of the year by Amazon UK, presents insider advice from marathon writing to how to create a professional book cover in just 10 minutes. Also included is a bonus section of 100 free and almost free ways to promote your ebook.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
iTrix works for me. iTrix.com, yeah. January the 4th, 2022 was the last time he posted. And it was about, I says, iTrix is back and changing. As you undoubtedly noticed, we had a little technical difficulty to bring in the new year, but that's all sorted. And now iTrix is back. But iTrix is also changing. After I really am not sure how long, my time with iTrix has come to an end. Been a blast, but honestly, since taking this new job 3 or 4 years ago, I have less time to devote to iTrix. The podcast, remember that, was the first to suffer, and then a long time, blah, 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 blah. So it's time for me to sign off. If you want to keep up if me, come on by my website, Swords and Ragans. Oh, this is from somebody called Michael Lork. That wasn't a post from Andrew Main. This is interesting, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it's so weird when people get out of mat. See, I can't imagine. We've seen this before a couple of times. We were looking, if you remember, a few weeks ago on one of the podcasts at Stuart, and Barry and Stuart. And one of them had left and become a author or something, if you remember, and had nothing to do with magic. And I can't imagine me not having anything to do with magic. Like, for me, it's an absolute passion. You know, I can't see a scenario when I wouldn't have anything to do with magic. I mean, I left the community, but I was still an active performer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not a tangible thing. It's not optional for me. I can't leave. Like, even when I quit Illusionist and I did photography on the side just to pay some bills, all I was doing was magic. Like magic. Like it's like not being interested in talking anymore. Yeah. I don't know, it's literally not set. Like, you know when people die and they get fucking woven into their sofas after you find them 10 years later and no one's been to visit and they just part of the sofa? Like, yeah. That's how magic feels. Like, it used to really upset me. I think more than it should have, when I'd see people saying, I'm quitting magic, that's it, I'm done, I'm so fed up magic. And it would really get me, especially if it was somebody who had a bit of talent with it. And I would genuinely feel sad. I'd reach out to them and say, oh, please don't quit. And it got to the point where, like, you see the same people quitting for the fifth time in 2 years. And it got to the point where I'm like, oh, fuck off then. Magic doesn't want you. And I get like really angry about it then. And I get way more passionate than I should be. But because I just don't, it always makes me think that, like, if, because it's not an option to quit magic in my head. It's not a thing you can choose to do. So to me, it felt like anyone that's ever said that was never really in it. yeah. for the right reasons. They were never really passionate about it.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Completely. They used to fucking wind me up.
I agree. Totally agree with you. Yeah, 100%. Although, you know, if people want to leave, just let them leave. You know, you don't have to announce it. It drives me up the wall when people go, I'm leaving. Okay, fuck off then. although I did notice somebody's left Magic recently. It wasn't ever posted on he's done the right thing, in all honesty. He never posted about it on Facebook. He never posted about it on the internet. He just quietly left. But I saw an article the other day that Mr. Blonde's now a cashier in Tesco. So, you know, he's moved on. It's good.
Well, maybe he was anyway.
And he could have been.
He tried. Or she, it could be a woman, or it could be a multiple people. You know,
could be Mrs. Blonde. Yeah, could be Miss Blonde. He, Mr. Blonde might not, be a man or a woman. Could be.
It could be AI. It could be artificial intelligence.
Could be. Yeah.
Well, not intelligence, obviously, but.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a joke there about why do blondes dye their hair brown? Artificial intelligence, isn't it? Maybe that's the whole thing, right?
Right.
Maybe he's just pretending to be stupid.
That's it. Like, really, good plan is to take over. Man.
I apologize to anybody who is blonde.
I remember a few years ago, many, many years ago. I can't remember when it was. I was in Vegas. I don't know why I was in Vegas. It probably was a Magic Live, and I was there with Dave Penn. So it was when I was doing the Wizard Product Review. And there was this really swanky party that somehow me and Dave had been invited to, and all the movers and shakers in the industry were there. And me and Dave. Don't fucking know how we got through the door. But Murphy's were there and Chris Angel was there, and it was Chris Angel's party and he'd invited everybody. And he was announcing that he was going to set up a magic wholesaler company or something. And everybody at the time was like, oh my God, this is the end of Murphy's. You know, Chris Angel is going to set up his own wholesale company. And obviously that never fucking happened. It's just weird how the point I'm trying to make is sometimes, like, you look back and you think, oh, this was the big, at the time, everyone was talking about this. This was the biggest thing ever. Everybody was talking about in the industry. Years later, well, that never fucking happened or led to anything or did anything. You know, you never know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like Theory 11 was like, I loved their whole style, branding and concept. And I just thought, like, Theory 11 was such a great company. And now that they are a great company, they just, I don't see them as a magic company. Well, you know, I don't think they see themselves as a magic company. Luxury playing cards.
They make playing cards and they do the odd magic
brand deals and playing cards, which is sad because I think they had a really good, like, understanding of good magic and quality. I don't know. Yeah, it's funny how some companies go that way, but it's definitely, it's got to be more profitable.
Yeah. But let's move on to something that's profitable. Releasing magic tricks.
Is it profitable, though? That's the question.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Murphy's is still around, so it's got to be profitable to somebody. if it wasn't profitable, there'd be no magic shops. There'd be no creative.
Very, very true. No, I wasn't talking about companies. I was talking about certain releases.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, you got a couple of options. Release one big trick that everybody loves or release lots of shitty tricks in mass that nobody likes, but, you know, it'll generate money for each one, otherwise known as the egging approach. Either one works, I suppose. But let's talk about products. Hey, we need to talk about Vanish by Justin Miller. Now,
I want to know about this because I have no fucking idea what it's about, but I just like the name immediately. So,
mate, it's fucking killer. I want you to do me a favor. Go and watch the interview that I put up last night with Miller. On Tuesday, I put up an interview with Justin. It's about an hour and a half interview, and we talk exclusively about Vanish, and he performs about five or six of the tricks. It's right. So this is a two-hour project. Justin's got some of the best material on there. He's got routines from Adam Wilbert. He's got routines from Greg Wilson. He's got routines by me. He's got routines by Ryland. He's got, like, some incredibly killer magic on there the gimmick. It's basically the re-evolution of the Vanishing Deck, the Paul Harris Vanishing Deck. But it's a completely different style of gimmick, and it does so much more than making a deck vanish. You can make decks appear. You can make them vanish. You can make them transpose. The interview that Justin does is incredibly honest. And he basically goes through exactly what it is you're getting and how it works and what it does. And it's killer. It really is. Jeremy Hanrahan makes all of the gimmicks. So the gimmicks are well made. He's got they're available through his website. They're going to be shipped out soon, but then I believe that they're going to be wholesaled at some point down the line as well.
I'm looking for a video. I'm on the, because he's long hair now.
Oh yeah, he's totally changed.
He looks like the Big Lebowski. The dude.
He does actually, yeah.
I'm just looking through. I'm trying to find a part of the video where he shows like the core.
He starts talking about Vanish about half an hour in. Before then, he starts doing seriously fucked up stuff with lapping. He's got this concept called shadow lapping, which is crazy good. And he demonstrates shadow lapping.
Okay.
The concept of lapping, but you don't, it doesn't matter. Go watch the video.
Okay, I'm trying to find this box, Vanishing Box thing. No, he's been working on this for ages, hasn't he, with Paul? I'm sure he alluded to this a while ago.
When we had him on the podcast, he was talking about this.
What the fuck's the podcast? The
podcast. It's
get onto the fucking podcast, you bastard. Podcast. Yeah, fucking podcast. Sorry. Just skimming through the video.
Yeah, well, while you're skimming and you're looking for the good shit.
Can you add chapters to your video so I can just...
I do for most of them, but the fucking interviews are so long a lot of the time.
That you can't be asked. Get your subs to do it for you. Okay, I can see subscribers. Right, okay, I can see now. He's holding the deck. Come on. Four aces. Oh, he does it like a TG Murphy deck flip and it boxes itself up. That's the effect, right?
No, I mean, that's just one of the effects. That's just like a variation of Freedom Pack. That's not the effect. That's just something that you can do with it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something you can do with it. I mean, there's...
Ugh, that looks so good. Oh, fuck, that looks so good.
There's so much that you can do with this gimmick.
That looks phenomenal. Oh, that does look really good. He's doing another trick now. So now he's holding it at fingertips. Shaking it. Making a prediction on the box. Oh, he's written a prediction on the side of the cards. And now... Oh, and it visually changes. Fuck, that's good. Shit, that looks so good.
Yeah, right?
Fuck, that looked good. So I'm just—I am aware that I'm just repeating. That looked good. That looked good. That looked good.
You do that. while you're doing that, I will talk about other stuff that's coming up recently, and then you can give everyone your opinion on Vanish because I think it's fucking amazing. Something that's worth talking about while Lloyd's looking at that, Vanishing Inc. have just bought out something called Velo. It's not a trick, but it's a flexible, convenient storage solution to collectors. So basically it's a piece of furniture that you put on your desk and it allows you to store your playing cards array in a really organized way. It's a display case really made out of high quality wood with an acrylic top. It's designed to showcase 12 of your most cherished decks of cards while protecting them from dirt, dust and harsh environments. So they're really going for this whole Velo thing. And it does look very nice, actually. You can go and have a look at that on Vanishing Inc.'s website. The other thing worth talking about that's just come out from Vanishing Inc., or actually Penguin. Let me talk to you about Penguin Magic. Because Penguin have got a few things that have come out recently that we need to talk about.
I have seen that there's the FPS wallet from the Magic.
The Himber FPS wallet. Yeah, it's
phenomenal.
Killer. It's basically, if you like the FPS wallet, he's built a Himber function into it, which is just super smart. And it allows you to do anything that you did with the FPS wallet that have visual appearances and so on and so forth is really, really good. If you love the FPS
wallet, so good.
If you love the FPS wallet, you'll love that even more. It's very, very good. Like really good. Like super smart. So that's worth talking. That's worth looking at. Also, a couple of new Penguin items that I think we need to talk about. And the first is a download, and it's called Finger Break by Gogo Cerevra, I think it is. Have you heard of Finger Break, Lloyd?
Well, I remember this. There is a Finger Break from the Mengel brothers, right?
Yeah. Well, this is, do you know Freak by Will Houston?
Yeah.
Where you take your finger and you apparently bend it all over the place.
Yeah.
It's that, but you do it on the spectator's finger.
Okay. That sounds gnarly.
Mate, I was sent a preview of this by Penguin to look at before they brought it out. And I was watching the trailer and I had to turn away. I just couldn't watch it. You know, like sometimes when you get... when you watch like contortionists and they like contort their body all over the place and it kind of just makes you look away and you feel a bit sick. It's like that. It gives you that feeling, but
I'm watching it now.
You're doing it on a spectator's finger and it's only $10. It's a download. It's $10. I've seen that. It's really good. I can actually tell you.
He literally just does the Will Houston Freak thing on a spectator's hands. I wonder why they don't realize what's happening.
There's a bit more to it. There is a bit more to it than...
it looks great, though. That.
But it is killer. Couple of other things that I want to bring to your attention that Penguin have brought out as well that I want to mention. And the first is Lightyear by my friend Carl Purnell. Have you seen Lightyear?
I did see that. That looks fucking smart.
Kyle showed me this about a year ago and blew my mind. I love it.
Explain to everyone what it is, because it's very unique.
Okay. So you have somebody write a 2-digit number down without telling you anything. And then you bring out 8. Basically, he calls them tiles. They're kind of made out of black acrylic and they all have holes randomly,
and they're
drilled.
Shaped like, but they're about the size of a playing card.
Yeah, and they're about the size of a playing card. They've got holes all over them. Each one has got holes in them, and you can hand them out to examination, and they're mixed completely.
Just so everyone knows, like not like one or two holes. There's like 15 random holes.
Yeah, there's holes fucking
randomly
everywhere.
Scattered over them.
Yeah, and you give it to the spectator, and you have them mix up all of these tiles. And then they're asked to play a mental game of connecting the dots, tracing their number over the holes with their eyes, but they're not actually telling you the number or doing anything. The tiles are then fairly dealt into 2 piles and placed on the white throne screen or held up to the sky. And when the tiles are squared, the light shines through the only holes that align, and the light forms the image of the 2-digit number the spectators are merely thinking of. The tiles can be handed out immediately and no one's able to line the holes up to produce any other effect, any other
super
number.
Good.
So when they start looking at it, then and they can play with those tiles forever. They won't be able to come up. They won't be able to rearrange them and come up with a different number. The only number that you can actually make is their freely thought of number.
It's fucking good.
Like the method is ridiculous. Yeah. No moving parts, no flaps, no magnets, no extra tiles, nothing to switch in, nothing to switch out. And it's immediately repeatable with a completely different number. It's one of the best tricks of the year, simple as.
It's amazing. It's such a smart method. I mean, I don't even know the method. I can guess the method, you know, just because I like that field that he's working in. Absolute fucking head scratcher for a layman. Isn't it? Like, what the fuck?
You will fuck them up with that trick. Like, you will literally fuck them up. Like, it's just insane. It's ridiculously good. The other
for
thing
me, for me, my I'd need to just sit down and have a think about how I could justify, not that anything needs to be justified, but like the justification and reasoning for those, just to fit my own personal style. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's bizarre, isn't it?
It really is. And then you've got Imaginary Hole, which is another one Penguin have brought out. Have you seen that?
No. Where the fuck is that? I'm on their website.
Go on, Penguin. Type in Imaginary Hole by Chen Yu Cheng. You see him?
Imaginary.
Why don't you watch that and narrate it? Because while I run to the toilet, because you're a big hole fan, you do lots of magic with holes on your channel, and you've obviously pioneered the whole thing. Portable hole. I'm gonna run to the loo.
There's a playing card with a it looks like a Sharpie sized hole. You wave your hand over the hole and it becomes a tiny little hole, and I can't tell if it's a hole or if it's like a black sticker. Like if it says phase one, draw a hole. So the performer is drawing a black circle or black hole on the card with a Sharpie, holds against his black jumper. And it's a sticker. Okay. So it's a black sticker. Phase two, make it real. It now becomes an actual hole. You can wave behind it to show there's an actual hole. And he puts his finger in the hole. And he puts a Sharpie through the hole as well. Phase three, shrink. So now he shrinks the hole down and it becomes a tiny little hole, which looks really good. Phase four, teleport. He's now going to pick the hole off and flicks it onto a playing card in the lady's back pocket. Looks great.
I'm back.
What's up? I should narrate the effect.
It's good, innit?
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Penguin have just hit the ground running the last few weeks with some of the stuff they've bought out. They've got the Imaginary Hole, Lightyear, Finger Break, and the other thing they've bought out is Split Ends. Have you seen that?
No, what the fuck is this?
Go on, Split Ends. When I was over at Penguin...
And I thought that was just something my wife complained about.
Well, there's that as well. When I was over in Penguin, they showed me the gimmick of this. And they were like, what do you think? And they did it in front of me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
By John Shack.
So you can narrate this one as well.
That looks fucking mental. Whoa.
And it's immediately examinable.
Immediately examinable.
Well, it with the method, it will look like it's immediately examinable.
Fuck. So for anyone listening, he's holding a king of spades, shows it. Does he show it front and back? Yeah, he shows it front and back, I think. Let me watch. So let me just double check. Holds a king of spades. Turns it front and back, right? He's holding it in his right hand, single playing card, front and back. He then, like, chucks it into his left fingers, tips. And now it's like the king of spades has been cut straight down lengthways across the middle and then placed it either side of itself. So the outside borders are now on the inside and the inside borders on the inside of the card is now the outside. Kind of like a mismade bill, but instead of it being in quarters, it's just the two halves swap sides. But he turns it all around. That visual is fucking astonishing. It's really, really open.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them are handmade. So in the last 2 weeks, Penguin have bought out those four tricks.
Blimey.
Like, I think a lot of people in the UK especially, they're not aware of stuff that Penguin bring out because they're over in America. People don't want to order from America, and it takes a while for the Prop Dogs and the Alakazams of the world to wholesale the Penguin stuff in. But knowing Penguin and knowing their team and being friendly with them all, they're really...
Oh, friends. Friends. Penguin friends.
it's okay. I still love Murphy's more.
you're here first.
But they're really ramming it up at the moment. They're really doing a great job.
It looks amazing. This does. I actually really like this trick.
And the only other thing that I've seen that's brand, two more things that I've seen that are new. I mentioned this. I mentioned this, not with Penguin, I mentioned this at the top of the hour, but The Blessing by Nicholas Mavrasis, I think, is the best Nicholas Mavrasis trick I've seen. It's really good. It's a very long trailer. I wouldn't look at it now.
But it's probably very long, but very, very, very smart.
And it's a lot of storytelling and stuff. So people who like that storytelling style, it's great. And Pete, look at my testicles, Nardi, has got four routines with it as well that comes as part of the package. Because what you're basically getting is a deck that has a lot of other things as well that you can do with it. So you've got that. And then the only other thing, this is being carried by Murphy's, but it's not a Murphy's item. And I know nothing about it, but knowing you like I do, I am sure you'll be able to tell us more about it than I will.
Oh, yeah, whatever it is, I'm sure I'll know all the details about it.
Well, it's a tech thing, and you're all about your tech, aren't you, and stuff.
Oh, fuck,
it's by Cobra Magic, and it's called Duality Pro. Heard of it?
Is that an app?
Would you believe you can embed a freely thought of number or name or country into a pre-recorded video while it's playing? With Cobra's Duality Pro on your mobile phone, you can do exactly that. You show your spectators a video of yourself or an assistant or whatever on your mobile phone, and you ask a volunteer to think of a number or a word or a name of a country or playing card, whatever. Towards the end of your own video, the item thought of suddenly appears embedded into the video. After the effect is over, you can share the video clip, not just the link, but the actual video with the prediction all over your favorite social media platforms, together with your contact details, as well as Facebook page, Instagram, or website. The one-time setup takes only a few minutes. It's always in your pocket, always ready to perform. The video is totally customizable. Apply your creativity or embellish it with your own style. 11 different input methods to suit your preference. It can be done both portrait for mobile and TikTok and Instagram, and landscape for larger screens like YouTube. Easy to set up, just 3 taps, even easier to perform. You can play it big by projecting the video onto a large screen in a stage show. And generic videos are included with the app, so you can perform immediately, and they're prepared by leading magicians. Just learn the input method, which takes 1 minute, and you're ready to perform.
Yeah, I've seen this and I've actually played around with it.
Is it good?
It's essentially pre-vision, isn't it?
Is it? You know what? Everybody talks about pre-vision. I'm not as up on the apps as you are. Everyone talked about pre-vision, and I kind of know what it is.
Well, I'm not too up on it.
Do you have a license to use pre-vision or something? I don't know. It's
I'm not expensive. Too up on it. Like, I tried not to look at the app world because I like to keep my... So many magic apps are just so derivative that I try not to fucking look at them because I like to think that mine do so well because they are so, you know, unique. So I try to fucking keep away from it all. But I've loved the idea of compositing imagery. So Mark Kirstein did it with Magic Web Effects really well, in a way. And then, but the first time I seen it used in video so practically was Prevision, and I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name. It escapes me. And then, then when I seen that, any thoughts that I had had about doing a video compositing app were out the window. Mainly because it was really hard, but also that is that's somebody else's sort of territory. And then there's a couple of other ones. So there was like the Mental Play app came out, and Duality, which they're both pretty much someone else's idea remade. So,
all right, so it is basically very, very similar to Prevision.
From what I can really, I try not to look at it, but when I played around with Duality. And I couldn't get it to work very well. And I'm hoping I'm wrong on this because I don't want to talk shit on anyone's product, but it didn't seem to be made very well. And it didn't look copacetic. It didn't look, you know, but maybe I'm just being picky. But yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one because I'm not a fan of when people use other people's ideas massively. So yeah. I don't know, but I might be completely wrong about all of my information, and if so, I take it back. But yeah, I think Prevision is the superior one from what I can gather, and he was the first.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I've not seen it. I'm not planning on getting it. It's very expensive.
But I have seen that there's another thing out which you're probably going to absolutely blow a load all over your belly button to. Have you seen Portal by Eric Chen?
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter project. I don't know much about it, other than it looks scarily like NPAD.
It's made by the TCC, and their quality's fucking really good. And
TCC are good, and Eric Chen is obviously an incredible performer.
Yeah, and it's a super high ticket item. It's $585.
Yeah, I'd be. I want to get one of those. It looks very good.
What's this overdraft? Is that what you're going to say?
Don't you fucking know about that?
Well, no, I've seen the trailer. I've half watched the trailer.
Okay, well, I'm showing you the gimmicks right here. So that's one of them.
Show it again. Sorry, I was just looking.
Both of these are regular.
Yeah. Two credit cards for anyone asking, and a third credit card. Cool.
And then
it just looks really well made.
Shitload of routines. There's a shitload of routines.
What's your favorite routine?
Two. There's a transposition type thing with a wallet where you take two credit cards out. One goes in the wallet, one stays on the outside of the wallet. And visually, and I mean visually, they change. And then you hand them out for examination. And then there's a cloning type routine where you actually apparently clone the card. But another one that Lewis does, imagine a transposition, but using the ASCII win thing. So you get them to hold on to one of the credit cards and you take a picture of them. You can imagine what's happening here.
Cool.
So that when they look back at their phone, the transpositions actually happened on the picture of their phone as well.
Nice. That's great. That's smart.
They're seeing that, but you're seeing, you know. Really nice. Really, I've got a review show special going up this Sunday on it. And I did a little interview with Paul Fowler, who was the creator of this. And I'm a big fan. This is really
I've never heard of Paul Fowler before, but this looks really solid.
It's his first release. He's got a couple of other things he's doing with the 1914. And he's got other stuff coming out as well. I believe he's just done a download through Alakazam as well. So,
oh, really?
We're going to be seeing a lot more of him, apparently, according to D.
He's got a great like performance style of things.
Yeah, D said we're going to be seeing a lot more of Paul in the future. And from speaking to him, I can see that. He's a very busy working pro. There's a lot of corporate work. Seems like a really nice guy. So, yeah. Ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, this is cool. I like this. $49.95, though.
Not cheap, but I know it costs a lot for them to make the gimmicks.
Yeah, that's fair. But it gets great reactions. You can see in the performances, it's getting great reactions.
And the routines, there's so many routines. It took me fucking ages to watch the project and loads of live performances. Everything I normally bitch about a project is not there. It's all really fucking good. Live performances, very practical. You can tell that Paul's worked this a lot. Yeah, it's $49.
Man, you're like a fucking Rain Man of new product information today.
Hey man, I'm just fucking.
Out of all the new products that we've gone over today, which one gets your pick?
Kyle's.
That, oh really?
I love that trick. I love it. I think any magician who sees it perform live will immediately want to buy it.
You know, I really like that Split Ends by John Shack.
It's good, isn't it?
It's. Yeah, I really like. I not to say that Lightyear isn't incredible because it's fucking incredible. But first there's something about that Lightyear is just so direct. You immediately hand it out, and they've got an impossible object. Does it come?
First time I walked into the Penguin. Yeah, it comes with stuff so you can actually give them the card when you've made it. You can give them the card as a so you can say, hey, let me create an impossible object for you to keep, and you can throw it up in the air and catch it and then give it.
So you've seven specially printed examinable cards. Seems fair. I'd like 52 of the fucking things, but $24.95. Do you know? I really like that, man. I might get that. I think that's great.
Wow. It must be a good product to get Lloyd Barnes from Wales to part with his money. Welsh people never spend money on
only because you have to pay us to enter the fucking country, pay us for the magic. For God's.
Like I said, last podcast, we're gonna build a wall. We're gonna make Wales pay for it, and we're gonna make the UK great again. Which is possibly the single most racist thing anyone said on any podcast ever in the entire history of podcasts. But you know,
I'm just saying silent because it's so racist that I just don't want to get involved.
Yeah, I'm saying it to a Welsh person, so it's okay. It's good. It's fine.
The equivalent of, I can say that because my friend's Welsh. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And I love Wales, really. I've got lots of Welsh friends.
Oh, anyway, so is that all the products this week? I did see Theory 11 come out with a new download.
What? It's,
yeah.
Must have been an accident.
It's from Franco Pasquale. They've just released, by the way, Biggie Smalls playing cards. But yeah, the new thing from Franco Pasquale is called Disposition. I can send you the link so you can see the trailer, but I'll read you the credit at the end. It says Disposition is Franco's handle of John Bannon's iconic Play It Straight Triumph, originally published in 1990. Special thanks to John Bannon for his generosity in permission to publish this routine. And from, because the trailer doesn't show a full performance, so you can't sort of understand the differences, don't look like anything's different other than like you reveal the number on a bill using that, which is the way you quite often see like Blaine perform it. And I'm sure I've seen Garcia, we were in a bar in New York, I'm sure I've seen Garcia perform it that way too, I think, but I could be misremembering. Yeah.
Hmm.
But could be very good.
I will download it and find out.
Yes.
Now, I've got to get up to Vanishing Ink, so we need to move on to Sorry Not Sorry. Is there anything that you're not sorry about? Give me a controversial opinion.
A controversial opinion?
Yeah, you know, that's what Sorry Not Sorry is all about. You know, give me a controversial opinion.
I don't know if I fucking have one. Do you? You must have something on your mind.
Not really. I've been considering putting a video together about creators, and specifically the amount of tricks that are coming out these days, and you can just blatantly tell that they've never worked this in the real world ever. Like, you can just tell. You can tell when somebody's worked a trick in. You can tell when somebody's taken a trick. I've never created a trick that was as good at the end of the process as it was at the it was as good at the beginning of the process as it was at the end. Every trick I've ever created, I think, is the best trick in the world. And then I take it out and perform it to real people, whether that be to friends, whether that be to my staff in the office, whether that be at a gig, whether that be down the pub or whatever. And you get feedback and it's like, well, okay, that's not right because of this. And that's not right because of this. And this presentation would work. And this presentation, I need to re-script this. I need to change this element. I need to do this. I need to do that. And you work on it over time until it's a finished product. And I just get the feeling that a lot of tricks that are coming out these days, that process is not being done.
Mm.
And it just feels
I think that hasn't changed for a lot. I think that's been the same way for a long time though.
You think?
I think so, yeah. I think especially in like the download era boom there was a certain time when every motherfucker wanted to be a creator in magic. I think it's not so much these days, but everything.
Why do you think everybody wants to be a creator? Why is that? Because I do see that. And you say it's died down. Still, it's not. Still, I think there's a lot of people that want to be creators. And you know, there's people that are going out there and doing it. Like our friend Chris James, you know, who's on the podcast. He's fucking everywhere on social media. And he's always improving people's effects. And he's got his own stuff coming out. But then there's other people who want to be creators. And
I can't explain why I know some people that are absolutely fucking desperate to be creators, like beyond desperate. And I can't really explain what it is. Maybe me and you have been around the block a few times, so there's no shine to it. And, you know, we've seen the good and bad sides of creating magic, but maybe there's some sort of what's the word? Maybe there's people think there's some sort of glory to it. I used to, I done a bunch of TV consulting and things like that. I used to think being a consultant was the dream job, you know, travel the world, create it. And then after doing it for so long, I realized it's a fucking terrible job. It's like any illusions of that being great were destroyed for me after going through it. So I can appreciate the thought beforehand was that it was a good job because you get to travel, you just do what you love for a living. And, but actually when you get more into not the politics of it, but the work culture of it and what you actually get from it, it's not good at all. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
You'd give away, because even like when you're a high earning consultant, it's still not a lot. And you'd give away like your best material for, you know, not much. Like I think I was on 500 quid a day, which when you think about it, sounds like huge money, but that could be the only consultant job you get that year. And you might only be on set for 3 weeks, you know? And you give away your best ideas because for me anyway, I would always try and do my absolute best work. And then I'm not egotistical, but you would get no credit for it. Even at the end screen titles, they would say, you know, consultant Lloyd Barnes in a small thing, but no one else would know it was your trick. The other magician's career would get improved, you know, because they get on TV and and they're going places. And like it was like a very in a way thankless job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And not that I do like magic creating to get praise, but there's also a line where it's like, fuck, I'm doing all this work and I'm making relatively small pay packet. And I got and then all the ideas that I'm absolutely in love with because I came up with them on the clock for XYZ. They're now not my ideas because I've been paid to create them for someone else. So I have no ownership of my material. Mm. And I've always been quite strict in some people would create stuff for shows and then go off and like market it. But I've always been quite strict in that I don't do that. If I'm paid to create it for someone, it's their idea. Then, you know what I mean? So, you know, you'd earn not a lot, you know, in reflection. You'd give away your best work, and at the end of the day, the person on TV would get all the credit for it, and that's it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for years, I used to think it was the dream job, and some people still do. But until you actually go and do it, then I think anyone can relate to that, right? Like, I used to think the dream job was working for Illusionist. You know what I mean? I used to think that was like the goal. That was the epitome of get there and they'll travel the world, make it mad. And then, you know, until you actually do it, you realize that it's not. And well, I think that's probably why many people want to be creators because they don't know what it's like to be creators.
It's not an easy process. It's really not. It's not an easy thing to do. And it's also very, very frustrating. I was talking to Peter Nardi just before we started filming the podcast, actually. I spoke to him today. And he said, the problem with Alakazam is Alakazam will buy the rights to release a lot of magic tricks. So they'll literally buy the rights and a creator will sell the rights to Alakazam. And then we'll be hassling Alakazam like every week going, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? Yeah. When's it coming out? And Pete was saying to me from a producer's point of view, I might be juggling 20 or 30 projects or even more in various different stages of development, whether that be prototyping, whether that be filming stuff. And then there's so many factors that determine whether something should come out or not based on the time of the year. And there's a million different things. And, you know, to that one creator, especially if it's a first creator who's just bringing their thing out for the first time, they just want to see that packaging. They want to see their name on the packaging. They don't care about anything else. When's my thing coming out?
Yeah.
And from Pete's point of view, there's a million factors that determine whether that's coming out or when it's coming out. And he's held on to stuff for years waiting for the right time. And he says creators don't understand that a lot of the time because from their point of view, even though he's kind of said yes, and a lot of the time he's paid them right there and then for that idea, they want to see that thing come out. Do you know what I mean? It's
oh man, I've experienced that to the extreme. Some people just they just live in their own little bubble and they think the whole world revolves around them. And there's some creators which I can't name, but I say creators in the loosest terms, but there's some people that, you know, sell their ideas to companies that are effectively blacklisted from how bad they are at that.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Completely. Some unless they show us like the fucking best trick ever that just cannot be turned away, they'd have to move mountains to release with us because of the way they've acted in the past, you know.
Wow.
On numerous occasions. But yeah, it's just like this is the thing, the creating part's the easy bit, like the coming up with the trick and the method. That's the fun part. That never ever feels like work. That's the bit I suppose everyone wants to be a creative for, you know, because they sit there, they come up with a good trick, and they think that's it, that's done. And it's everything else around it, which isn't the fun part.
I mean, I've been working with Murphy's now for over a year, and the only trick that I've had come out with you guys is the quantum deck.
Yeah, yeah. Although you do have two prototypes for new tricks in your hands, I think.
Well, four, if you think, because you've got the artwork for those two things. Mm. It takes time. It's something that's not done overnight. It does take time, and it's frustrating, especially as a new creator. It's really frustrating. But
what would your advice be to any creators looking to get into it?
I was speaking to Johan. Do you know Johan? Do you know Magic Dream Paris?
I think so. Is he a really good card guy?
Yeah.
Like really good card guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know him. Yeah.
So I was interviewing him, and he was talking about this as well. And I agree with a lot of the stuff he was saying. If I can give any advice to new creators, what I would say is, don't be in a rush to release products. It takes time. Also, check why you're actually doing this.
Yeah.
If you're creating products to become a millionaire, go somewhere else and do something else. You're never going to become a millionaire creating products. You're never going to be the next Greg Wilson or Jay Sankey. You know, it's just do it because you love magic. Do it because you love the material that you're bringing out. Don't do it for a paycheck. I can always tell those creators that started off doing it because they love it, and then their material, and then it becomes something that they've done because they just want the money, and you can see the quality to degrades. You know, I'm not mentioning any names, egging, but what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're always, focusing on why you're actually creating in the first place. Understand that and work it in. Don't you've created a trick. Oh wow, look, I've just made this coin vanish. It's the best trick ever. Brilliant. Right, send that to market. No, go and work it in. Show it to other magicians. Show it to do it in the real world. It will change over time. It'll change. Get it absolutely perfect in every way. And then when you do have that trick, live performances. There's nothing that will sell a trick more than having lots of live performances.
Film it live, send it to those magic companies you want to release it with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I always say this. Oh, like, yeah, please send me a live performance of it. And then either they come back and they've done it and they've realized, because it's the first time they've done a live performance, what they need to change with it. It's like a little way of like getting them to do it themselves. Or from the video, you can tell if it's going to be a good trick or not. And if there's any advice, you can say, oh, actually, if you tweak that, it will be a good trick. Or you can see if it's got no legs at all as well. You know what I mean?
And don't give up. You know, you're going to get knocked back. You will get knocked back. You know, I always remember David Jonathan saying to me that one of my favorite tricks of all time, which is the Snaps deck. I love the Snaps deck, which he bought out through Penguin. Penguin wasn't the first company that he went through to get this trick to market. He went to several other companies and they all said no to him. Eventually he went to Penguin and Penguin said yes. And it was Penguin's best-selling trick of 2019, I believe. Or 20, I don't know which one. 19, 20, whatever. Do you know what I mean? The point is.
Yeah. Yeah, I say some tricks just don't suit companies, certain companies. Like some people send a trick in. Not about David Jonathan, genuinely not. I wasn't even working, I don't think, when he made that. But some people will send a trick to a company and it just doesn't suit it at all. It doesn't suit the company. Like you'd get, like when I was at E, some people would send in like really long, or like, even at Murphy, somebody sends me a download for like a long card routine. Well, that's not going to sell well at Murphy's, an instant download. We do sell instant downloads, but people are expecting to go off and become like a bestseller, like the Quantum deck, you know? And it's like, well, dude, this is a download. Like we do, you know, mainly better with, you know, physical products, but like a longer card download would do well at like Vanishing, because they do a lot of card specific downloads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so some tricks just don't suit. Just don't suit companies, and they're better suited. So I'll always be honest and say, you know, because although I work for Murphy's, I'm not the man. You know, I'm not going to say to someone, oh yeah, bring everything to Murphy's. I think I want everyone's effects to be the most successful they can be, and if it's not right for Murphy's, then it's not right for Murphy's. You know, but if it's good enough to go somewhere else, it should. So I'll never hold back. And there's some people I know, it's just like going off on this like tangent, but I can name one person in particular that they're creating magic, not for the money, but just to be known as a creator. So they're just throwing shit at the wall and praying some of it sticks. And they're trying to create anything and everything. And they're never, ever, ever going to get recognition by doing that. Because when I create magic, I create it because it's obviously not for money. I always create because it's a trick that I want to do. It's a piece of magic that I want to walk around performing and have in my arsenal. And when you start creating either A, for money, but more so in the example I'm thinking of right now is the person's creating just so they can tell people they're a creator. They're not really interested in the effects they're doing. They don't even perform them. It ain't going to work. There's an authenticity that just dies off. It's why in the last releases that I'm putting out is stuff that I actually truly believe in, because I'm not on a leash to, you know, be forcing material out. And I think it shows. And yeah, if anyone's thinking like creating, like obviously like there's good money, there's good magic can create, provide a fantastic living. Even if you're not a performer. But if you're creating tricks just to make money, then it ain't going to work. It's not going to work.
No, I agree. And your reputation is everything. You know, work hard, be a person that everyone likes working with. You know, have humility. You know, do everything I don't. not have a massive ego. Yeah. Great advice. Went slightly off topic, but I thought that was a really good segment. Right. Have we got anything else to talk about, Lloyd?
I don't think so.
I think we got it wrapped up this week.
Oh, there's a question. A question came in.
Did it? Would you be able to play it? Because my phone is not in the office with me.
I think I can if I've got the magic.
Actually, I've got my iPad. Can you can you send it over to me? Hello. Oh, now my phone's here. Oh, hi, Sarah.
Pizza.
Hang on, give me a message.
Do you have a pizza, Craig?
Yes, pizza's here. I'm going. Yeah, it's arrived. Yes, we have Pizza Wednesday, the last Wednesday of every month in this office, where we buy the stuff. We order in about 20 pizzas. We switch the phones off for an hour and we just sit around eating pizza. It's here. Finishing this podcast in like 0.2 fucking seconds. I have my phone very quickly. Send me a message.
I've emailed it to you. I've emailed it to you.
I have pizza to eat.
You cunt. I'm starving as well.
I am hungry. Right. Daniel Lee. Okay. So, Daniel, this better be fucking quick, and you're going to get the quickest answer in the world, and it's probably going to be eat more pizza.
Stop saying that word. I'm so fucking hungry.
Well, they're eating my pizza in there, and my staff are gannets. So
just play the fucking question, then you can.
It's downloading right now. It's a long one.
Jesus.
Hell, it's a long one. It's a long one. It's 3 minutes long, this question. I know it might not be. I know it is. Oh, fuck me.
Just skip through it.
from the States. It's been a while since I've sent in a question, so I thought I'd send one in. I figure I should probably acknowledge Craig first so I don't get cussed out again like last time. Anyways, Craig, you mentioned last week that you use CHOP in your walk-around performances, but you don't end it with the Bill Lemon final load typically. So my question to you is, how do you normally end it? How do you like to end it? Do you have something specific that you take with you for a final load, or do you try to find something in the environment that you can use? I found that that seems to get the best impact. If I can find something there, I can use. The favorite one of mine that I've done was actually at a fireworks store, and I found a firecracker that was like a really big firecracker that just barely fit under the cup. And I did the routine and ended with that in there, and it got a huge reaction. So it was a lot of fun. Anyways, I didn't know if you kept something on hand with you in case you couldn't find something, or if you did something completely different. So I was just curious. And then my next question for you is actually involving Keymaster, which I know I've asked questions about before. I know you're probably tired of it, but I thought I would check real quick. You had mentioned that there was a possibility that you could maybe see some more gimmicks for it. And the one that I had mentioned specifically was a stretched out key, like with Jay Senke's Holy Moly. I didn't know, is that still a possibility? Do you see anything coming down the pipeline with that? Would absolutely love to get hands on something like that if it is. So anyway, those are my two questions for you. And then Lloyd, questions for you. I know you DIY a lot of your own gaffs and stuff like that. And I didn't know if you had any good tips for somebody that wants to try to do that, maybe even specifically with splitting cards. I've tried it a little bit with some mild success. It always seems to be that I don't have a problem splitting them, but then when putting back together, they just never turn out quite right. They never look quite right. And I don't normally end up using them in performance because of that. Do you have any tips on that, or do you know of good places to send off if you want to get those done, like a company or a person maybe that even does it, they can pay to do that? I don't really have anything specific in mind. I like trying to play around with it and just haven't been real happy with the results. So just thought I'd hear some tips from you since you do a lot of that. Anyways, I think that's probably all the questions for this week, except for maybe Lloyd, when is Dex going to be out? Anyways, I look forward to hearing your answers and listening to the next podcast. Talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Craig is raging because his pizza's going cold.
Right. Daniel, great questions. Number one, I can confirm that at some point, Penguin are going to be bringing out a Keymaster range of keys. They're all designed to fit with the original Keymaster, but there's going to be a whole bunch of different gimmicks, and the stretched key that you talked about is one that we are discussing together, myself and Penguin. So there's going to be a big expansion on the Keymaster range. Look out for that. These things take time, and it's, you know, we've just spent ages talking about how long things can take, but I am actively discussing a lot of stuff about this with Penguin. And we're creating prototypes as I speak. I'm having photos sent to me every week by people like Sean. CHOP, I always carry a pool ball around with me because I do a lot of stuff with a black eight ball. And a lot of the time when I'm not using a Bill and Lemon, I'll have a card picked and signed, and I'll Mercury fold it and just drop it into my pocket. And at the end of the routine, I'll have the bill go under the thing loads of times. And then at the end, I'll load a black eight ball into the cup, and I'll say, hey, well, you know, for a big finish, would it be good if I could get your card under there? What was your card? And they go, eight of spades, because I force the eight of spades on them. And you go, oh, black eight, watch. And I have a black eight appear underneath there, and I go, there you go, black eight, an eight ball. And in that, in the moment that they see the eight ball, I load their signed card, but I have the cup mouth up so they can't see that I've loaded the card. It looks like it's just not loaded, like it's an empty cup. And I say, okay, you're not impressed. Oh, you want your black eight? Watch. And then I slowly tip the cup over and it falls into my hand and I unfold it and it's their card. The other way that I've played around with it is using blue tack and getting a massive blue tack ball and having that in my pocket and using, taking
blue
out
blue balls.
Yeah, blue balls. taking out the blue tack. Balls. And rather than using a bill, using blue tack, small blobs of blue tack to do the routine and then having a big blue tack ball to finish. And the other way I've done it is that you can get those elastic band balls that are made up of elastic bands. I've loaded that under there as well. And then I lift it up and I've got elastic bands and I take one of them off and I go into an elastic band routine. And the other thing that I've done is if I see something on the table that I can steal under the cup without them realizing it. A bit like a Tommy Wonder style moment, I'll do that. So a lot of the time that'll be a salt cellar. So I'll move everything and I'll say, let me put your salt cellar over there out the way. And at the end, I'll just move the cup to one side, pick up the salt cellar underneath the cup, and they don't realize that because of whatever is happening underneath the cup. And I bring it back and I say, of course, you're wanting to see a big finish. Check this out. It's your salt cellar. And then they look and the salt cellar wasn't there. I've also loaded, in the old days, I don't really do watch steals anymore, but in the old days, I used to do a lot of watch steals, and I'd load their watch under there, and it'd be the final would be like, hey, you know, let me give you a prize for being such an amazing spectator. Boom, you can have your watch back. So there's a few ideas, but there's an awful lot more you can do. I've had open Goshman style purses in my pocket in the past, and I've loaded a signed card or a borrowed ring into a purse, and I've loaded the purse underneath. So a purse has appeared at the end of when I open up the purse. It's their borrowed ring or their bill or whatever it is. So
there you go. Answer. Your pizza's freezing.
Yeah, and in terms of gaff cards, Lloyd hasn't got a clue. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know anything about gaff cards. He can't give you any advice on card splitting. And even if he could, it's going to take him too long to say it, and my pizza's going cold. So, Lloyd, you don't know the answer.
Check out Blake Voigt's download on Theory 11 or on his website about card splitting and putting them back together. He's better than me, and he'll give you more information. It's probably like a $10 download or something, and it's definitely worth it. I think he's got three of them. That's the best resource.
You know what you should do as well? You should do a video one day on your channel on card splitting.
Yeah, I'm not the best at it, but...
I tell you who is amazing at it. I don't want to pimp my own stuff, but Steve-O Watson is amazing, and he is on the Netrix, and he has three courses on the Netrix. One on everything that you need in order to craft cards, and he goes through his setup with his scalpel and everything that he needs. Then he's got a video on how to split cards, and it's like a 40-minute video on how to split cards and how to make it perfect. And then the final video is how to make a flap card using a split card. And Steve-O's material on the Netrix is great.
Right, go and eat your pizza.
Guys, I'm really going to go because I've got to eat this. Then I'm going to go to Vanishing Ink. I will see you again next week right here on the Magic Podcast. I love you all. I'm going to go and eat pizza. I'm wrapping this up quick. Sheep shagging, my son's a twat, and Peter Nardi's balls. There you go. That covers everything. We'll see you again next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.